Hey everybody, it's Caddy. You are in the May Caddy's Cafe. What is it they say? April showers bring May flowers, and John Taylor in the cafe.
Perfect combination,
isn't it? You look like a sprig of sweat of spring to me, JT.
A sprig of sweat.
No, a sprig of spring. Wearing your
It's quite cold and hungover today, actually. I'm looking out at Los Angeles, and it is so gray and misty, and The Cure are playing just around the corner tonight in the open air, and I'm thinking it's going to be cold on that stage tonight.
Out the bowl.
Let's hope Robert wears a muffler.
Or long underwear. I did speak to one of your bandmates, and they said, oh, the weather's not been great. It's been lovely on the East Coast.
Good.
To be honest. So for this cafe, I've apologized to John and you too, audience, because I was slightly negligent in planning it on time and therefore didn't have a lot of time to do research. So what do I do when I don't have a lot of time to do research? I asked the fans for some questions, but their questions made me think of things to talk about. So we're going to do a combination cafe. I'm going to kick it off with a question from someone named Anthony DeVito, and he wants to know if there's a legendary producer the band hasn't worked with yet, but would love to. He's always imagined that Brian Eno and Duran Duran would make a great sound together.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. Yeah, actually, that's a good chat, Anthony. I mean, whenever I hear those kinds of questions, I always think, oh, no, I can't think of anybody. But Eno, I mean, absolutely, yeah. I'd love to go into the studio with him for a couple of days. That would be... You know, that would be amazing. You never know.
You never know. You were sort of, not unexpectedly, but what's unexpected to me is that you've been in the studio working on something. We can not really give away a scoop because we all know it's a Halloween album without getting into much, much detail. But I feel like this is the quickest you've released something like between albums ever, right? It's almost
no, we've not done anything like this before. You know, I mean, well, look, most of the songs on the record are cover songs, you know, so they're either other people's songs or old songs, old Duran songs that we felt might be interesting or might fit within the concept. But then we decided to write something new for the album. So before we went into rehearsals for the UK tour, we went into the studio for a week. We went into the studio for a couple of days with Ben Hudson, and we had a couple of days. Did we have a couple of days, or did we have one insane day in the studio with Niall? And we got three brand spanking new songs written in that week, which is unprecedented.
It for this is. Band.
And, you know, it's going to, so, you know, I think to some degree it's like also having this kind of overarching concept theme sort of, you know, was a starting point for all the songs, you know, because when you go into the studio and you really have no idea what you're going to be writing about. And with this, it was like, well, we know what the vibe is.
Right.
And also we had a tour starting. So there was no fucking around. It had to happen in that shorter period of time.
You had a job to do and you did it. Do you like working like that? Because that's an unusual way for Duran Duran to work. That's under pressure.
I do like working like that, actually. I mean, I especially like working like that, you know, when I'm the only person, you know, away from his family, staying in the UK, you know, and we're working, you know, very sort of casual hours 4 days a week, you know, but you know, we do what we whatever it is, it is what it is, you know. And and without, you know, every album takes what it takes. And you know, as I said, it wasn't like starting out. I mean, you start out on an album like that would become Future Past, and you know, and we're thinking this has to be a masterpiece. You know, I mean, we set the bar very high for ourselves, you know, and everybody's, you know, just trying to redefine the band and redefine the sound of the band. And with this, it just kind of slipped in under the door, you know, mm-hmm. You barely even noticed it happen. You know, it just happened so quickly. And, you know, it's, it's, been great, actually. It's been a great experience. And as a result, it's turned into a very dynamic, very fun project that is not really like any of our previous albums.
Now, you mentioned that you recorded three songs. Will all three songs be on the album, or you don't
I'm
know
not
yet?
going to answer that question right
Okay.
now
You are entitled to not answer a
because I
question.
don't have, we haven't, the whole album isn't mixed yet, so it's not sequenced yet.
Okay. This is I have another question, but before I ask the question, did you play your Rio Dream bass on this album?
Did I play it on this album? Yes, I did, actually. I had a really fun day in the studio with Vic DeAngelis, who's the bassist from Maneskin,
Oh,
who, you
right.
know, I met them. Well, I've met them a few times now, and when I'd met the drummer, and he introduced me to Vic at this party, and he's like, "She's the bass player." This was about 18 months ago. I didn't know anything, really anything about them. I'm like, "You're the bass player?" You know, and she's just the coolest. She's just the coolest, and we really bonded over music and bass playing and whatever. And I just gotten the Rio bass from it had just come in, so that was my first day in the studio with the bass, and it sounds fantastic. I mean, it sounds great in the studio. It sounds great on stage, and I gave her mine. You know, she went off home with
Ah,
it, and she loves it. She loves it. It's a great piece of kit, actually. I have to say, I'm quite proud of it. You know, and I used it on the British tour, and I'm going to be using it on this American tour. It's the shit.
so that leads us to a question from Lale, who asked if the Rio base, Dream base will remain your main base. Will you change out the colors, and what will happen to your the PV bases in your rig?
Yeah, well, I think at the moment in this show, I'm using three different basses, but they're no four different basses, but they're all Dingwalls. I've got a five string, I've got the Rio bass, I've got a fretless, and I've got a one pickup, Dingwall. So that's not going to be changing anytime soon. The plan is to bring the bass out in a variety of other colors. It won't be quite the same as the Rio Dream bass, which, you know, was a limited run and had some special features. But it'll be roughly the same. But I'm not quite sure when that's happening. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I just want it in every color now.
That's a very cool bass. I said to Tanner, do you want a Rio Dream bass? Because maybe I could ask Uncle John for one. And this was before the piano, and he said, no, I want a piano. And there you
No, well, there
go.
you
There
go.
you go. You did them right. Claire says, would you consider doing more of your Instagram live chats like you did during lockdown? And if so, and I suspect the answer is no, but if so, who would you invite on to be your next guest?
No, I'm
It was a
not.
lot of work.
It was. I'm not feeling it right now. You know, it's You know, the thing about touring is that it just absorbs it. It's an energy thief. You know, from the moment you wake up in the morning, you know, to when you go to bed at night, you're thinking about your body and your health and practicing. And I find I don't have much bandwidth or energy for anything else. So, you know, I'm not going to be doing anything like that until, you know, after this season of touring is done. And then the new album's going to be coming out, and that's going to take us up to Christmas. So nothing like that this year.
Right. But who would you have on if, like, I don't know, you had like a free week and I said you could pick anybody?
God, those are such sweeping questions. Brian Eno.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say Tina Weymouth. So we were sort
Oh yeah,
of
great.
on
Two
this
great ideas. And Vic
similar
DeAngelis.
wavelength. And there you go. So how did Samantha says, how did the band feel the UK tour went? And she thanks you for playing Last Chance on the Stairway, which a lot of fans were crazy about. A lot. But this tour seemed different from my perspective than other tours in the way you were received. Did you feel that love that I could feel all the way in New York?
I mean, for me, it was, you know, the downside, it was just over. It was just over too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just felt like we were really just getting in the groove. It was very intense. You know, it was, I mean, we were, I think it's the first time we've ever kicked off a tour, you know, at an arena of that size in Manchester. And, you know, if I could do it all again, like in July, I would. I mean, it's almost like it went so fast. I barely had chance to, you know, to register it, you know. But you know, all the shows were great. I mean, everybody's just so great, and you feel the love. You felt there was a, what, so what did you feel then?
You know, it's partially because each tour you do, social media takes on a different level of importance, but the amount of posts and tweets and Instagram where people said, you know, I've lived in England my whole life and had never seen Duran Duran live. And I went to this show and I was blown away. There were so many comments like that. And I'm still getting them, you know, just random emails. I got one yesterday to ask Caddy saying, you know, if anybody has a chance to go see Duran Duran. It was really like I'd never seen them before. It was the best show I'd ever seen. That's nice. Really?
Yeah, that's what we like.
Yeah. And just from what I heard, the review, just everything just seemed like.
We're always trying to defy expectations, aren't we? You know, and I think there's a feeling that, you know, what you're really trying to avoid is people saying, I don't know, I like them better on the last tour. I that's what I want to hear. I want to hear, wow, I think that was like the best time I've ever seen them. Because that typically doesn't happen. You know, it's like people are coming, you know, generally people go to see bands like ours because they want to have an experience similar to an experience that they had a long time ago, you know. And the best we can do is kind of remind them what a fantastic time they had in the 80s or whenever it was, you know. So, I mean, if somehow we can, you know, we can bring something that is like the best, if we can bring them the best Duran Duran show they've ever seen, then, you know, job done. You know,
yeah,
that's what we're in the business to do, I think. I think we're all kind of driven to do that in a way, you know.
I'm just looking at an email I got today. I believe because she signed it, Ciao, that she's from Italy. Someone named Steffi wrote, hi, Caddy. On May 1st, I flew to London to see the guys perform at the O2 Arena. It was fantastic. I danced and sang along at the top of my lungs and felt grateful for the music Duran Duran has been giving us for more than four decades. She didn't have to send that email. You know what I mean? The concert was a while ago.
I do love a thank you note.
Yes, me too.
I always say the world is divided into those who know how to write a thank you note and those who don't.
Well, I have Lois to thank for that.
Exactly.
Debbie, right. Debbie says, this was cute because I love this too. I love seeing pictures of you and Gila in Scotland. And I'm wondering what your favorite thing was on your Scottish trip. Those pictures were so cute. Now, she had not been there before, but you had, obviously.
Well, I'd not been to the Highlands. I mean, I went once on a holiday with my parents, but I mean, not really, not since I've been an adult.
Right.
We went to it was an area that was made popular by Queen Victoria because she bought Balmoral Castle and she started going to this part of the Highlands. And, you know, and we got taken to this spot where she used to go for picnics, you know, and she'd take her posse, I suppose, with her. And it was on this river, you know, or stream, you know, and it was unbelievably beautiful. And I really thought, wow, this is, this is the most beautiful place I'd ever been. You know, I mean, it probably wasn't the most, but it certainly felt like one of, and certainly the most beautiful place I'd been to in a while. And yeah, I mean, it was really fun to spend a few days in Scotland, actually, because I don't spend a lot of time in Scotland. And we love tartan and we kind of love the culture, actually, you know, and the history. And it's nice. I mean, it was typically, like everything we do, it was very rushed. You know, it was like 2 days right after the Glasgow show, you know, and then we flew back to LA. I mean, very, you know,
but it leaves you wanting
a real
more.
Rush job, you know. Oh yeah, definitely. I always want more of everything.
Now, did you have your own kilt already, or did you?
I
buy
do
one?
Have a kilt. No. I brought my kilt.
I love my kilt
with me, and I wore it the first night. And yeah, I like wearing a kilt, actually. I do.
Does one wear underwear with a kilt?
Well,
you're not answering that one either.
Let's leave that. Let's
to the imagination. Okay. So I wanted now we're on Caddy's questions. I wanted to know if you've gotten your copy of the Rio Carnival record store. It looks cool, right? It sort of, hey, I can't, what's that?
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you looked at the original lately?
I have it, but I haven't looked at it.
Does it say Rio Carnival on the
No,
front?
It doesn't. It says Carnival. Right.
I was like, when did it say Rio Carnival? But I like it, you know, and I like the color of it. It's one of the few times I really like the color of the vinyl as well. And I thought it turned out really well.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Italian ices to me. Like, it wasn't exactly a tie dye. It wasn't exactly a mix. It was sort of like an Italian ice, and I liked it. And I listened to it right away. I have sort of a shonky record player, but it still sounds great. I was into it. I was really into it. And then Errol Alkins, Give It All Up, his rework, that just came out yesterday. I don't have a copy
In what format?
Well, it came out on vinyl, in blue vinyl, and it sold out in minutes at Rough Trade, and then you can still get it in black vinyl. So you'll have to put in an order for your copy of it.
It's quite a journey. That mix is quite a journey, you know, if you haven't heard it. No, I mean, just listening to it, it's a really, really incredible, actually. I love it. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Did you say Give It All Up?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've heard that, actually.
Yeah. With Tove Lo, Give It All Up. It's good. You can find it on Spotify or Amazon Music. Yeah. Very lovely. So now, in just days away, you are starting the first leg of your spring summer US tour at Bottle Rock, a festival. You looking forward? Because now we're on your side of the pond.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. No, I am looking forward to it. I mean, I love, you know, I love to play and I love to tour and I love playing to big crowds, and Bottle Rock, I think, will be a lot of fun. And then we get back into that arena groove, which was so good last year. You know, tickets are selling fast for, you know, most of the shows. You know, they're really, really selling well, and they're just going to be great shows. And I'm really confident in this particular show. We've upgraded it a little since the show that we brought to the Garden and to the US last fall. So it's a little bit more advanced. The visual side of the show is a little more developed. I actually do think it's one of the best shows we've ever had. I think the visual content, the lights, the projections are as good as we have ever had. And I think that the music mix is, it's good. Everybody's really bringing it, you know, and I think it's going to be good. It's going to be nice to have a run of 3 weeks, you know, where we really, you know, where we're playing, you know, I don't know, there's like about four shows a week, something like that. So. And then we get a break and then we do it again in August.
Yeah. Do it again. I realized the other day that soon, in a few years, I'll be working with the band for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So I probably started when I was 12, let's just pretend. But I was young, but not 12. And I always say one reason I still have my job is I don't ask a lot of questions because I don't. Mm. Right. Surprised, why not?
Unless you're hosting Caddy's Cafe.
Right, that's true. But mostly I don't ask questions. And when you guys opened in Manchester with Nightboat, with that light show and those lights and you guys all coming out and then walking, I was like, holy shit. Because if you can surprise me, then you've done something good. And I was like, where did these lights come from? No one told me this was happening. It looks so fucking cool. Yeah. I was like, oh man, I got to see this show. So I'm excited. I think I'm going to see you in Colorado. So that's the second half of your shows. And then of course you're going to end in my hometown ish of Forest Hill Stadium in Queens with Grace Jones and Nile Rodgers and Bastille.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. You think Grace will come out and do something with you guys? I know she's not really the type.
We're going to ask.
You're going to ask. You should. Why not? This has been a lovely chat with you, John. Very spur of the moment. And I appreciate you covering my ass and saying
it's
done. So when will we speak to you again? I don't know. Like November. It'll be close to Christmas. So, but you know, if you ever want to just check in and say hi, you know where to find me.
Good to know.
Thanks for joining us, JT, and good luck on your first night of the tour. But you know what I always say? You don't need luck because you have talent.
Oh, I love that.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.